Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for the opportunity once again to visit with you today, wherever you may be listening to this radio broadcast, and to study with you from the scripture regarding God's great plan for mankind. After Jesus had left this earth, he sent the Spirit of God to guide and direct those apostles so that they might teach the truth. In John 14 and at verse 16 and following, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Spirit of God was there, and he was doing the teaching as Jesus left this earth. He left it in the hands of the Spirit of God to guide them and to direct them. In Romans chapter 8, reference is made to the Spirit of God and the times that we get involved in prayer, and how that we do not know how we ought to pray as we should, and how that it is the case the Spirit of God does make intercession for us and does make groanings which cannot be uttered. Notice what is said there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When Jesus said he would pray the Father, and he would send you another comforter, he used the word allos for another the same kind. Different than the word heteros. Heteros is another of a different kind. And that is what Paul wrote about in Romans, in Galatians chapter 1, when he talked about the brethren following after a heteros gospel, which is not another, he said. "But there be those who trouble you and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that heteros gospel is not to be followed. But the allos gospel, the allos teacher, the comforter who would come and guide them into all truth, would teach them the things to do. And thus he would honor them as they followed that way, as God wanted them to do. God wanted them to follow his will. The Father sent Jesus, and Jesus made that known. In John 12 at verse 49, he said, "The Father spoke these words to me. And these are the words that I now speak unto you." It is the case that Jesus spoke not his own word, but the word of the Heavenly Father that he was representing, and carried out that work that he was assuring them he would do. When you and I follow the work of the Lord and the will of the Lord, we'll follow the word of the Heavenly Father so that we can be people who follow that way and righteous way. In 1 John chapter 1, reference is made to a person in sin and wrongdoing. And he says regarding this work that we're doing and why we find ourselves not doing God's will, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we find ourselves being people who follow the way of the Lord and do his will, we'll find a blessing in that regard. But if not, we'll find our way be wrong. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's be people then who follow the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word of the Heavenly Father, and how that word should be in our lives as we honor the Lord and his will as we live. The faithfulness that we have toward the word of the Lord is to be a person who honors him and glorifies him. It is noted regarding that matter as the talk about worship is done in Psalms 95 and verse 6. Let us worship and bow before him. That's the idea, bowing before his will, bowing before his day and time, bowing before his honor and his majesty of power. And we bow before him, and we thank him for his blessing, and we ask his continued blessings to be with our lives, and with our family's lives, with our travel, with our events, with our thanksgiving for the food that we eat. That's the idea that Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in reference to this matter, how that we're to be receiving food with thanksgiving as we pray and we thank God for the food and for the blessing of that food within our bodies, that we're people who are thanking God for that. As we find the word worship used in the New Testament of the Bible, we find that word in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 7. We read, "We worship him that made heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is." We worship him. We bow before him. We're thankful that he is, and thankful that he is with us as we teach his word. We've been talking about these particular things over the last several weeks of time: the word of the Heavenly Father, the word to honor, the worship of God that we should do. And as we honor that particular way of worship, we find ourselves enjoying that relationship with the Lord. Back to 1 John chapter 1, when he says there, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light," verse 7. 1 John 1 at verse 7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's be people then who follow the will of the Lord and do that he wants us to do. When we find the Father's will being not honored in our lives, it's time to confess that we've sinned, we missed the mark, we failed to do what he has said to do and be what he says to be. And as a result, we need his forgiveness. And he offers to us a forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness involves the things that lead us to the sin or missing the mark that we've done. Because when we find ourselves thinking about evil and thinking about wrongdoing and thinking about things that are not godly and not righteous in our lives, we're people who are led toward a way of life. And that way of life is a way of missing the mark. It's a way of sinning. It's a way of doing wrong. And he says here that he'll forgive us of our sins, but also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us from the unrighteous thinking, the unrighteous deeds, the unrighteous activities of our lives that bring us to do that which is wrong in the sight of God. We can be people who honor the way of the Lord as we bow before him and as we thank him for his forgiveness of our sins, and we praise him for the hope that we have yet in the future. When we talk about this, we're talking about a way of life that he honored us and told us about, and that John wrote about here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Are you following that way? Are you honoring that way? This broadcast is brought to you by the Crockett Church of Christ. Crockett Church of Christ is located at 7458 Highway 4 West of Senatobia, on Highway 4. We're 7 miles from Interstate. On Highway 4, on the left side of the road, you see the big sign. You see the big cemetery in the back of the building there. And you'll see the opportunity to stop in and visit with some wonderful people, nice people, friendly people, helpful people, as you study God's Word with us, bringing a Bible or using one of the Bibles at songbook rack. You can use one of those. And you can follow along with the verses that are used and read them and see the context in which those verses are found. Now let's talk about the context of verses. We talk about the context of the Old Testament of the Bible. Some people want to follow just the Ten Commandments system. The Ten Commandments system listed in Exodus chapter 20 is in reference to a way of life for those people at that day and time and in that order of that time. And as they lived that way and followed that way, they were honoring God's will. But when they followed not that way, they were sinning. They were missing the mark. And they were missing the standard that God had set forth in those commandments. Now, when Jesus came, he came representing the Heavenly Father and representing the Father's will. And he talked about giving a new testament. Notice that new testament, that new kind, that new order. And that new order is described in the book of Acts chapter 2. How that Simon Peter rose on that day and said regarding him and his work that he was here among us, and you did crucify and slay the Son of God. They were pricked in their hearts. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of his sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that last week in our study about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God became a gift to those who are saved from their sins. And as a representative of the Spirit of God, he watches us and knows what we're doing. And he knows when we're sincere with our prayers, knows when we're not sincere with our prayers. He knows where to honor us as we bow before the Heavenly Father or as we fail to bow before the Heavenly Father. The Spirit of God wants to witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:24. So let's be people who follow the way of God, the will of God, as we walk in this life. Think about the ways in which we do things in life, and we think about the way of God that he wants us to do, and how that it should be the same. It should be the case. And in his body, the church, we talk about the church of our Lord being the body of Christ, and being the body of Christ described in Colossians 1 and at verse 13 and following, we read how that we find ourselves in a righteous way before the Lord, in a righteous teaching that's before the Lord. That's the way that we're to do. In Colossians 1 at verses 12 and 13, he notes that following statement as we read here in regard to this matter. Colossians 1, and in reference to it, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice that this is the case that he tells us, the brethren at Colossae, about their way of life. He says, strengthening us with all might according to the glorious power, unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, put us across, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now who is the kingdom? Well, in Colossians chapter 4 and down at verse 16, he says, And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also among the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Paul had written a letter to the Laodiceans, and he wanted them to have that letter and wanted them to pass it back to the brethren of the church at Colossae. And he wanted that letter that he wrote to Colossians, to Colossae, the book of Colossians, he wanted that book to be taken over to the church at Laodicea and be read among them. Yet this letter is written to assure them that when they were delivered out of the power of darkness, they were placed into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want you to notice the kingdom people of Colossians 1 and verses 13 and 14. The kingdom people were the church people of Colossae and was the church people of Laodicea as he writes them this letter and wants them to get the letter from Laodicea and read among the brethren at Colossae, Colossians 4 and verse 16. Notice these are the people of the Lord. And as they are the people of the Lord, they honor the way of the Lord and honor his way in their way of life. He tells us in Colossians 2, verses 1 through 3, For I would ye know the great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, with all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom we are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom we hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge were in the writings that were given. And these treasures that were given were for the people. And though Paul at first personally did not get to see them, and in the flesh he did not get to be with them, he nevertheless had them in his heart, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love and in all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Christ. That word mystery is used in the Scripture several times. And in reference to it here in Colossians 2 at verse 2, a mystery, a plan. A plan revealed a part at a time. Now, when a mystery is revealed a part at a time, that means that it had a particular message, a particular idea, and they wanted to have that message understood and practiced by everybody. When enemies of the cause of the Lord captured those people who were following the Lord and following His way, they might get some of the mystery. They might have some information there, but they would not have all of the mystery. They wouldn't have all of the plan. And as a result, they had an opportunity to be people who could know some of, but not all of. But here he talks about the full assurance of understanding and the full assurance of knowledge of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. Their intent was to have the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it would be that they could understand that way and follow that will. Colossians 2 at verse 5, "For though I be absent in the flesh," Paul says, "yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." How did they live as they were obeying the gospel, baptized into Christ, living faithfully for the Lord? How were they living? Steadfastly in their faith in Christ. They had a faith by which they listened to what He said, and that a faith by what they practiced as He taught. And here's the way of life that they honored and followed. It's the way of life that you and I should honor and follow today. And we invite you to the services of the Crockett Congregation as we meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and at 10:30, and again Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for Bible study times. We invite you to those events because we're not studying our own will, our own way, nor talking about it from the standpoint of our own way, but from the standpoint of how the inspired apostles of our Lord presented this message, this great plan, and this great work, and how that it's a part of your heart and my heart as we live that way. Paul writes there in Colossians 1 and verse 28, "Whom we preach," that is Christ, "we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." Paul wanted to know the people, and he wanted to teach the people. And once they were assured of the way of the Lord, this is the way of life that they should honor. What did they do as they followed along that way? Well, in Colossians 2 and down at verses 11 and 12, he said, "In whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." How were they forgiven? They were forgiven when they were buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through faith in the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. That same idea is described in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "Know you not that so many of us as were buried with Him by baptism were buried into His death and raised to walk in newness of life?" He's talking about that burial and that being raised from the dead here in Colossians 2 and at verse 12, just like in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We honor the way of the Lord. We follow His way. And we teach His will in His way. And this is the message that He said that we should honor and we should follow. He says there in Colossians 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be ye thankful to be in the body of Christ. The body of Jesus Christ, the church of our Lord, is a place for us to be and place for us to serve the Lord as we go forth in life. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts and life. Protect you, guard you, be a person who's a part of your life. And that's the work that the Spirit of God wants to do through the Word of the Lord. The peace of God will rule in your hearts. That's the way of God. It's the way of the Lord. It's the way that honors the way of Christ Jesus. This program is brought to you by the Crockett Church of Christ, located on Highway 4, out west of Senatobia, toward the Tunica side. We invite you to come and be a part of services with us this morning at 9:30, 10:30, and this evening at 6 o'clock. Be a part of the worship of the Lord that is identified there. And may we be people who honor that way as we bow before Him and thank Him for His forgiveness and thank Him for His ever-loving way of life. Confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1. And verse 9, if we find ourselves doing wrong, we find ourselves not doing what's right, we know that we're missing the mark. We call upon Him to forgive us. He is willing to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, and I mention here once again, when we talk about the unrighteousness of our lives, we're talking about those unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous plannings that we're doing that lead us into missing the mark, lead us into sin. But we're thinking about those things, and that's not good for us to think about. It's not righteous for us to think about. And when we find ourselves in that unrighteous way, He says that He will forgive us of that way of life. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like He will forgive us of all our sins, we will be people who are cleansed from the unrighteous thinking, unrighteous talking, unrighteous planning that we're doing that leads us into doing those things that are not righteous before God. Missing the mark, sinning before the Lord. Is He willing to forgive? Yes, He is. 1 John 1 and verse 9. But not only that, He wants to help us to get over those unrighteous thoughts and plans and ideals that lead us into doing against God's will, lead us into doing sinful ways, lead us into missing the mark, which is the word for sin, the missing the mark that God has set. The standard that He has set forth will be a standard that He wants to be honored instead of the way that we're doing things. We're talking about a way of life that we're talking about the will of the Lord. And we're talking about this way today in regard to how to live for the Lord from day to day. When Jesus talked to the disciples about this matter, He says regarding this in John 14 and in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, and let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid." We're talking about a way of life that later on in here in Colossians, in reference to the matter, He talked about a way of peace that we find. Again, back in Colossians chapter 3, in reference to this matter, He says, verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's the way of life. And when we want to exchange that peace of God in our hearts for a way of unrighteous thinking, unrighteous talking, we're people who go quicker to sin and wrongdoing. He'll forgive us of our sins, but that's unnecessary when we have a way of life by which we can do forgiven, and we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. We have that peace that can rule in our hearts, and as a result, we can be the people that God would have us to be and honor the way that He can have us to walk and be. What a blessing it is for us to be that way. We remind you of the services of the Crockett Church of Christ. As we gather on Sunday mornings, 9:30 for Bible study class times, and 10:30 for our worship time together. We have the Lord's Supper during that time, and we remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that made it possible for us to be what we are as we find the Lord in our lives from day to day. Let's be people who honor that way and that will of the Lord. Knowing that there are people who listen to this broadcast as we move along and catch a part of that earlier, we tend to repeat some of the things at a latter part of the 30-minute program so that people will know what's been said and what's been expected of us. When we honor that way, that's the way of God that's good and righteous and holy. It's the way of the Lord that we should honor, and it's the way of the Lord that we should follow. And that's the teaching that the Lord has given us. We allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts and lives, and how that we are also called in one body. And He said, be ye thankful. We're thankful that we're in the body of Christ. We're thankful we're in the peace of God. And we have that peace ruling in our hearts and lives. What a blessing it is to have that. And when He says this about people, He says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3 and verse 21. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord ye receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, and he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That closes the book of Colossians chapter 3 in reference to that matter. And he says, when children obey their parents in the Lord, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That's the way of life for us to follow. That's the teaching of the Lord. And it's good to be with you today and study with you these matters from the sacred scripture. This is the teaching of the Lord, teaching the apostles after the Lord, teaching of the Spirit of God who directed them to say the things that they need to say of the Heavenly Father. That's the way of the Lord that He wanted. Thank you for your time today. This is Robert Rawson.